They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Welcome, everyone, to the Tool Shed. I'm Logan Carney here with Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost. As always, we get into our second episode of this fantastic Robert Morris basketball, Robert Morris-centric basketball podcast, the only one outside of Andy Toll's own radio show in the entire existence of the known universe. I know you guys can't. Can you guys believe it?
I can't.
Neither can I. It's amazing we're here.
Second episode, and already bringing you the best Robert Morris basketball coverage out there. This is broadcasting on Robert Morris Central Media, Robert Morris Radio, on the TuneIn app. So if you aren't listening to this live, download TuneIn app. You can actually listen to us live. Now, we started 15 minutes late today. Hopefully, that doesn't happen every day because of some audio issues. Turns out it was actually recording from the computer, so very simple fix. I'd like to thank Malik Johnson for fixing it.
Shout out to Malik. Keeps us all safe in here.
Anyway, we're gonna get started here, and Robert Morris basketball. Now, for those of you who don't know, they had two games this weekend. They had two games, you know, every weekend. This weekend they took on Sacred Heart as well as Wagner. And the Wagner game, just to break it down, when you're looking at the conference standings right now, that Wagner game, Wagner beat them 60-49, I believe. 61-49.
62-49.
62-49. So even my second guess was wrong.
happens.
But Wagner now has the tiebreaker over Robert Morris. They're both 5-6-2 at the top of the conference. So we're just gonna break down those games. Just your initial thoughts, guys. Matt, I'll start with you.
The Wagner game or the Sacred Heart game?
Let's start with Sacred Heart. Why don't we start with Sacred Heart, and then we'll get into Wagner after.
We saw a really good first half from RMU against Sacred Heart on Thursday. Looked like a really, really good half, and seemed to let our foot off the gas in the second half. You know, got outscored by 8, so that's a little something to get worried about. But the first half, we looked really, really good, so that's always a very nice thing.
What's really good? How well they shoot? And let's throw some numbers out here.
We shot almost 44% from the field in the first half. I mean, 42 points in a college basketball game in the first half is pretty good. You know, usually you see 60 points in a total game, so seeing 42 is a good one. And, you know, almost 40% from three-point, that's always a good thing to see. And limited our turnovers. We had under 5 turnovers, so that's always good to see too.
Luke, how about you? What were your initial thoughts from that Sacred Heart game?
Yeah, same thing that Matt said. A very solid first half, and then both offensively and defensively. But then the second half, Sacred Heart started to find the bottom of the bucket. So they shot 50% from the field in that second half. But – yeah, that was a very good, I think, very good performance for Robert Morris as a team.
Now, one of the things that stands out, too, you mentioned they shot 50%, Sacred Heart shot 50% in the second half.
Yeah.
They only put up 20 points in the first. Matt, you know this as well as you know, as I do. Andy Toll, for the past couple of games, has been preaching defense, improvement in the defense. They need to get things together on the defensive side of the floor if they want to win the NEC. 20 points in the front half is really, really good.
Yeah, that's really good.
But shooting 50%, letting your opponent shoot 50% is the second half. So do you think there's still adjustments need to be made? And what does the Robert Morris defense look like? It's more like that 20-point one? Is more like that 50% one? Or is it somewhere in the middle?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. You know, anytime you hold a team under 30% from the field in a half and force over 10 turnovers, that's, you know, you don't get that too often. Even if you're the greatest defense in the world, that's not going to happen all the time. And you know, the second half, 50%. I don't really know. I mean, open shots, but, you know, sometimes teams just make shots. But I expect them, other teams to shoot around 40% against us, and that's probably how we're going to make our living. Trying to force at least 7 or 8 turnovers a half will always help us out.
And, Luke, my question to you is, you know, we'll get more into this in the next game because this is really, really, you know, prevalent in the next game that we'll see is they haven't been shooting as well as they have from the three-point line in this past weekend. In the first half against Sacred Heart, though, you know, tale of two halves as far as their shooting goes.
Yeah.
If I can find it here. And they shot, you know, 5 of 13 from three-point line in the first half. That's 38.5%, which is, you know, right below 40%. I can't even talk
that
right
was,
now.
That was rough.
Good thing this is the only Robert Morris podcast to go to for basketball.
Yeah, right.
Nowhere but, else.
But they shot right under 40% from the three-point line, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
And then in the second half, they shot 25%. Luke, my question to you is similar to the defense. You know, Robert Morris has started to struggle these past couple of games from shooting from the three, something that they were really good at, you know, during non-conference season and the beginning of conference season when they started undefeated. What is this Robert Morris team more like? Is it more like the team that's going to, you know, dominate from three-point lines, or should they start trying to adjust? Are they more like the team that's shooting 25%? Is it just a slump? What are your thoughts on that?
I think they're a team that's got to stay confident. I think, you know, you hit 40% from behind the arc in the first half. Come out in the second half a little cold, and you start not so good. And now you kind of get intimidated by shooting the ball from behind the arc. I think they got to keep shooting the ball. I think the more you shoot, the better off you're going to be for this team.
Now, a team that struggled even more than Robert Morris from the three-point line in that game was Sacred Heart, which is a testament to the great Robert Morris defense that they played in that game. 2 for 8 in the first half from the three-point line, and then they didn't make a single one in the second half. Now, they've done a lot better job, but let's move into the Wagner game because this sort of stays on topic as far as three-point struggles go. Now, in the Wagner game, it was Robert Morris on the Sacred Heart side shooting from the three. They didn't make a single one in the second half. They were 0 for 11. In the first half, they were 2 for 20 overall in the game. And
2 for 9 in the first half.
And 2 for 9 in the first half.
Ugly.
So I'll start with you. What is your thoughts on just the overall three-point shooting of this team?
I think that defense doesn't always affect how well you're going to shoot from behind the arc. A lot of times it's just whether or not you're going to make the shot or not. Sometimes defense has a very important factor in that. And if you can close out on shooters and not give them open looks, of course, but to shoot 2 for 20, that's not just great defense. That's just bad shooting. I mean, anytime you shoot 10% from anything, whether it's from the, you know, from the field or from the three-point line or from the free throw line, that 20% or 10% and shooting 2 for 20 is bad, regardless of how well the defense was playing.
Does it worry you? Now, you say, you know, defense doesn't affect three-point shooting often. Does it worry you that their two worst games from the three-point line for Robert Morris has been against the top two defenses and the top two teams in the NEC in St. Francis and Wagner?
I think that we shot a lot of threes because the defense was not letting us get points inside. And I think, you know, we shoot 20 threes in one game is a lot. And to see, I mean, you see a bunch of players not hit a single three at all. LeAndre Washington was 0 for 4. Kobe Thomas was 0 for 3. Matty McConnell was 0 for 3. Deshaun Burke was 1 for 4. Chris Coleman, 0 for 3. So you're looking at the same shooters missing the same shots. So that kind of just comes down to it, too.
Yeah, it checks out because, like, if you look at the numbers here, I got it in front of me. The three-point field goal percentage for Rob Morris is 31.6%, which is second to last among the NEC. And when you play a good defense that, you know, can close out on the perimeter and can force tough shots from the outside, you're going to kind of expose that low number.
Now, as you guys think going forward, do you think 3 points should be in the Robert Morris game plan? They have some guys, you know, Luke, you just pointed out, second to last in 3-point, which is a lot worse than anybody here thought that they were, given the type of players that they have on their team. Deshaun Burke, you know, McConnell can shoot from three, but he had that.
McConnell's been cold.
He had that real, yeah, I think he had 0 for 22. I think 0 for 22 streak of not making a single 3-pointer.
It's rough.
So they have some great talent on their team that can, but they have been going through struggles. Do you think that this team realistically should start trying to go inside more and three-pointers should not be a bigger facet of their game? Or do you think this is just a struggle and they should push through?
I think it's a struggle and I think they should keep pushing through. Our best players are guards. We don't have a very big forward presence. Our tallest player is 6'9", and he doesn't play this year. It's Xavier Williams. And I mean, our best players, Deshaun Burke, Kobe Thomas, even Matty McConnell, Andre Washington, all players that have proven, John Williams, that have proved to be our leaders and our best players, they are guards and they are three-point shooters. And a team like RMU can't match up physically against better teams in the nation if they're going to make the NCAA tournament. And the teams that end up winning are the teams that can shoot threes. Last year, Junior Robinson and his Mount St. Mary's team was a very good three-point shooting team, and they won an NCAA basketball game. They ended up losing, but they still won the initial game, and they won in the tournament. And they have to be able to shoot to beat St. Francis this year.
Yeah. They have to be able to shoot to beat Wagner, too.
Well, yeah, that too. I'm just saying, with the high-scoring teams, or high-scoring teams in games like against St. Francis.
Oh, yeah, it's... No, they should keep shooting the ball. I'm gonna agree with you on that. But
thank you.
If they don't get out of it by the next, I think like 2 or 3 weeks, you gotta make a change and try to start getting more physical on the inside.
Yeah, I mean that's how we won this year, is by shooting threes. So yeah. I mean that's our bread and butter this year. It seems to be that and great defense. So hopefully we pick it up.
Now another thing that was very noticeable in the Wagner game, and they lost the Wagner game. They did, and that's it's a game that I'm sure a lot of Robert Morris players are shaking their heads because they ended up, they were in it at halftime. They ended up getting blown out, and they were trailing by at least double digits for a large portion of that second half. But they still had Wagner. They still held Wagner, one of the better arguably the best team in the NEC, to 62 points. And Robert Morris defense has consistently given up 70, 80 points. Even in one loss, they lost 89-80 to St. Francis. They've given up 70 points a lot this year. Do you think that this is a game is something that they can build on, especially from a defensive standpoint? Do you think they can take that away while they did struggle offensively? Because they played great defensively. 62 points against Wagner is not an easy task.
No, yeah, definitely. No, it's a learning game. I always say that. We have a young team. I think it shows just how great NEC teams can play and how, defense does win you games, and you have to be able to find other ways to score that's not the three if that's not working for you. So, obviously, this is a great game to take away, especially with them coming back up on the schedule, and this will definitely help us, It'll definitely show if we are a good enough team to win this year, win the NEC. If we can't beat this team, obviously we won't.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's Wagner's the team that if they can split the two games with Wagner in the regular season, it's gonna be fun to watch in the tournament.
Yeah, definitely,
like it's gonna be one of those kind of circle your calendars that they play together.
Yeah, so, no doubt. But
two very strong teams.
So we're gonna transition a little bit because you said you talked about how great NEC teams can play. So. Some of you may be listening to this. It's going to be attached to an article that will be coming up, or will be up when you're listening to this, obviously. But the article basically says, why is Robert Morris, the team in Pittsburgh, getting the least amount of coverage when they are solely the team that is in actually winning their conference? I mean, Duquesne having a phenomenal year. They're 15-6, I believe. 15-6, phenomenal year. But we beat Duquesne.
Yeah, we beat them. No one talks about it.
We beat them in 5 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pitt, struggling. They are, but they're an ACC school, so it makes more sense. Much larger school. It makes more sense while they're getting coverage. But again, they might go winless in the ACC, and Duquesne's kind of passing them up. My question to you is why does it seem like Duquesne is becoming the next big basketball school in Pittsburgh when they haven't beaten Pitt? They've beaten Pitt once in the last 16 years. And they haven't beaten Robert Morris in six years now.
It's all with location. The top of the article says, Deshaun Burke said, you have Pitt, Duquesne, and Robert Morris. I think sometimes we're overshadowed because they're two teams in the city. That's true. I think, when you think about Pittsburgh sports teams, you have Pitt and Duquesne. And then kind of like you have to think about Robert Morris. Mm-hmm. Because they're not in the city. Like, Pitt and Duquesne are close to each other, always a good rivalry matchup. But Rob Morris is just outside of Pittsburgh.
So you think it's solely based on location?
Yeah.
Solely based on location.
Solely based on location.
Because there's still a lot of people, they consider West Virginia to be a Pittsburgh school. Because they do.
Because
it's covered by Pittsburgh sports. Yeah. That's why it's called the Backyard Brawl when they play each other and stuff like that.
I understand, but it's
much bigger than Robert Morris. Big 12 is a 10 times bigger, better conference than the NEC. We're not even comparing the two schools, all right?
Yeah.
but location-wise, they're still considered a Pittsburgh school. A lot of people, the sports writers, media, West Virginia people, they all consider themselves a Pittsburgh school. That's why it's called the Backyard Brawl. So when you're judging by location-wise, do you consider Robert Morris to be a Pittsburgh school?
Yeah, but the also another thing about Duquesne and Pitt is that, like, Robert Morris is small. Like, Duquesne's not big, and Pitt's not exactly the biggest college out there. But Robert Morris is a very small school with very, it's a small school that has...
Well, it's still D1.
Yeah, but they're a small school in a small conference. Like, if West Virginia was in the NEC or even the A-10, they wouldn't be considered a Pittsburgh school. You know what I mean? They'd be West Virginia, and that's it.
Yeah, but we're talking about Duquesne here. Duquesne's a very small school. Pitt's a huge school. Duquesne's a very small school. Their arena holds 2,500 people, give or take, which is going to be half the size of Robert Morris's planned new arena, UPMC Events Center. So it's Duquesne's about the same size, give or take, as Robert Morris is. So enrollment doesn't really play an issue. So you say location. No, what do you think, Nick? What do you think? Matt, sorry.
No, you're good.
I don't know why I said Nick. Matt, what do you think?
No, I agree. It's a little bit about location. We're us being all the way out here in Moon Township,
the way out here.
No one likes driving on the Parkway West, so that's one of the reasons. But I think it comes down more to who Duquesne plays and who are the teams in their conference. If you look at the A-10, the Atlanta 10, which is what Duquesne plays in, you have Davidson College, who Steph Curry went to. You have Dayton, who hosts the NCAA tournament every year, the first four games, so everyone talks about them. Then you have other schools like George Mason and George Washington and UMass, Rhode Island, Richmond, who is always in the
competitive
tournament. Yes.
Yeah.
VCU, who everyone knows about
always
VCU going into the Elite Eight or the Final Four.
They went to the Elite Eight a couple years ago.
Year, I remember.
Yeah. And St. Louis, who was a very high seed, and St. Joseph. So you're looking at teams that people actually care to watch.
Yeah, and if correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Rhode Island ranked?
I'm not sure if Rhode Island's ranked, but even if they're not, people still know who Rhode Island is.
They're still a good team, yeah.
And they are competitive even against the bid schools. And that comes down to that. So it comes down to Duquesne the other day just played who'd they play? They just played George Mason, who I don't even care about Duquesne basketball, but I know George Mason because they had that run 1 year too. And then it also comes down to who used to be in the A-10. Butler made it to the
Final Four.
They made it to the national championship game against Duke.
2 years ago.
Gordon Hayward missed that.
And they were in the Atlanta 10. No team from the NEC will ever make it that far. No matter how great that team is, they will never make
That's
it.
That's also that plays a big part of it too, is the schedule.
The schedule. And even people care about the A-10 because other bid schools were in it once before. Penn State was in it. Pitt was in it. Temple was in it. Villanova was in it. Virginia Tech was in it. West Virginia was in it. Xavier was in it. All of these teams that have been relevant in college basketball have been in the A-10.
Yeah.
At one point. And I think that has a very big thing to do with why Duquesne is cared about more, because they have players and teams in that conference that matter.
But even though the A-10, A-10 is a much bigger and better conference than the NEC. It is. It is, and hopefully one day maybe Robert Morris will be in the A-10 as
or
opposed to the NEC.
Something, yes.
Yeah, something
that's
much
not
better.
The NEC.
You know, I imagine with the new arena, just pure speculation here, that the goal is to eventually move up to a better conference, and they wouldn't be building a new arena if they didn't have this idea in mind that they want to move up to a better conference. Hopefully, it involves the A-10.
I don't know if it'll be the A-10, but something like that. So, even the Horizon League, which is what Youngstown State's in, wouldn't even be a.
But right now, with Duquesne, you know, they haven't made the NCAA tournament since the '80s. Robert Morris has made it three times, or they made it four times in a row from 2010 to 2014. Pitt, and while they've been one of the best schools, when they were in the A-10, they weren't relevant. They didn't get relevant until Ben Howland took over in the 90s,
You're
in the
right,
late
I'm
90s.
Just saying.
So they weren't relevant for basketball back in the 90s, the early 90s, 80s, when they were in the A-10. Mm-hmm. Penn State basketball has never been relevant in the A-10.
They still aren't. They can win every game.
Their team now is, everyone's going crazy about their team. Guess what? They're still not going to be ranked this year.
Yeah.
The greatest team ever is an average team up at Penn State.
Oh yeah.
West Virginia basketball is phenomenal this year, and they have those. You know, they're one of those teams that they'll be really, really good 1 year, then they'll be average another
year. West
Virginia
is always like that. It seems like
they're always in it.
They're always just that. Just hang around all
year. The point I'm trying to get is, you know, Duquesne has been irrelevant until last year, and this year. They have been absolutely irrelevant. Why is Robert Morris, you know, who has consistently won their conference, even if it's a much smaller conference, they've consistently competed, they've consistently won, yet after just 1 year of basketball, good basketball by Duquesne, Duquesne's still overshadowing them, and Duquesne might not win their conference and might not even make the tournament, whereas Robert Morris gets a guaranteed seed when they win theirs,
yes.
If they win theirs.
If they. It's all about what could it be. If Duquesne wins, they could be the 5 seed. They could be a 12th seed or whatever, playing a good team. They could make it to the Sweet 16. But even if Robert Morris tops out to the best they could absolutely be, they're still going to play a 15 seed or a
16 seed. You mean they'll be a 15 seed?
They're going to be a 15 seed or a 16 seed. They're not going to, and they're going to probably lose. Even they stared Villanova 1 year, but they stared Villanova. They didn't beat Villanova. Duquesne has a higher ceiling than RMU will ever have. And it comes, like, it's just, that's just the way it is. And that's because of the conference. It's because Duquesne's in the city and that they have more people that go there and they have more alumni that care about them. But it's still what Duquesne can be opposed to what RMU can be.
I think I'll just ask the question here. Just, do you think that it's fair, though? So you say all these points about, you know, why it is. Do you think that's fair? Do you think Robert Morris should get more coverage than the amount of coverage? Because they still get a decent bit. But do you think that it should be a lot closer to Duquesne, considering how much Duquesne gets compared to Pitt nowadays, when Pitt's in a by far bigger conference than Duquesne ever will be?
It's not fair. It'll never be fair. But the little guys, they just don't get recognition. It's not fair to them. But that's just how it is. Like I said, Robert Morris to be the best team they could possibly be, people still won't care. And that it's sad because we all really care. And people that watch RMU basketball really care and they wish. But people that don't pay attention to any basketball will pay attention more to Duquesne or Pitt.
Luke, I'm going to ask you, obviously, when, you know, Pitt, I understand, much bigger conference. I'm not going to compete.
You can't even argue.
Yeah, you can't argue.
ACC is a stacked conference.
They play Duke and they play UNC. You can't.
But Luke, what does Robert Morris has to do to get the respect that it deserves in the city? Do you think winning a couple more NEC titles is the goal, even though they've already been really good? Do you think the new arena will give them the respect? Do you think the ultimate goal is we need to get into a much better conference in the NEC?
Two things need to happen: better conference, and at least a Sweet 16 game.
Sweet 16.
Yeah.
So you're saying they need to win two?
They need to win two in the tourney.
Two in the tourney. That's a big call.
Big upsets.
Now, you worried they win two, that Andy Toll would be gone, and maybe the program would take a dip after those couple years? Because you can look at other schools, you know, like where their coaches leave right after they make a run. You know, name one that picks out is Florida Gulf Coast. And then they become irrelevant.
It's true.
It is true. I mean,
it's.
But to get, I think it's more a respect thing. I think that with the bigger conferences, you kind of respect Pitt and Duquesne more. Robert Morris doesn't get any respect. And if they do make a good run at it and kind of shock the basketball world per se, then yeah, I think you'll get more coverage.
No, and I agree with that. You look at Butler, who they beat Pitt 1 year, and then of course they go to the national championship, but it's the continued success at a high level.
Butler's also a big school, though. It's a much bigger school. It's much bigger than Duquesne.
Davidson really wasn't all that prominent until Steph Curry came in and tore it up in the tournament, and now Davidson's kind of looked at as a, not a powerhouse, but a solid team.
You can't always rely on enrollment, too, because there are some teams that play in big conferences that still have, like, 7,000 students, like Northwestern.
Yeah, but we're talking about the smaller guys. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, Butler, while they were in the A-10, they were not really a small – they were still a big school.
No, yeah.
Duquesne's enrollment is a little bit under 10,000. Yeah. Robert Morris is about 5,000. So they're smaller guys. They are. Compared to, you know, Butler's a much bigger school. You know, and usually when you get into those Power 7 conferences is what I like to use for basketball, because it's more of a Power 7 than a Power 5, because you got to add the Big East and American Conference, too, that are phenomenal conferences. You know, all those enrollments are usually around, they at least have, you know, they're usually around 20,000. There's some smaller schools, I know, in the ACC and stuff like that. But the enrollment still is, you know, none of those guys are really small guys. And obviously, the goal for Robert Morris is never—they're never going to get into one of those Power 7 conferences. That's just unrealistic. There's not enough room.
If they did, they won't be able to compete.
Yeah, they would have to expand here significantly. There's no way that they can expand that. but they get into the Atlantic 10, not out of the possibility. So we need to break down this upcoming week. So I'm just going to leave you guys with one question. Yes or no, no breakdown, yes or no. We'll start with you, Matt. Do you think Robert Morris is the best team in Pittsburgh?
That's a tough one. They are better than Pitt. I know that for a fact. And it comes down to RMU.
Yes or no?
No breakdown. Yes or no? Easy question.
I think that RMU is not the best team in Pittsburgh because I think that even though we beat Duquesne, I still think that Duquesne is a better basketball team.
Luke, how about you? Yes
or
no?
As of today, best basketball team in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
All right, and we will move on. We're going to start breaking down these games. We got about 4 minutes left coming up.
Got to hustle.
So we're going to break down these upcoming games, and believe it or not, the games that they are facing, the same teams as last week.
Yeah.
We'll be taking on Sacred Heart first on Friday, and then they'll be taking on Wagner in another game that can once again decide who is in front of the conference.
Mm-hmm.
If Robert Morris beats Sacred Heart and Wagner, wins their game on Friday, those two teams are once again fighting for first place in the conference.
In my opinion, whoever wins, so let's say both teams win, Wagner wins and Robert Morris wins, that game on Sunday is going to determine who hosts the conference.
So you're saying that game
will decide who is the top dog.
So you're not worried about either of the St. Francis's, who are both right on their tail?
No.
Mount St. Mary's, who is two games behind them as well?
Nope, it's going to be Wagner and Robert Morris at the end.
All right, we'll start with you, and why don't we start with the Sacred Heart game? We'll get a little bit of breakdown for that. What are your thoughts on the upcoming Sacred Heart game, Matt?
I think that we shouldn't take our foot off the pedal. I think that's what we did last game. I think we need to just, pound Sacred Heart and not let up and, show that we're the more dominant basketball team. We'll be at home. We'll be in front of our fans. I don't think there should be any doubt about the fact that we should win that game. I think that we should beat them by 30 points, honestly.
The score prediction?
I don't think we're going to beat them by 30 points, but I think
what's your score prediction?
My guess is probably 75 to 57.
75 to 57. Luke, what about you? Your thoughts on the game and your score prediction?
I agree with the whole go in there and just dominate. Use it as a warm-up game, like doing football where you play like some garbage team first week and just light them up and come next week and you're all ready to rock and roll. My score prediction, 63 to 49.
63. So you think Robert Morris is going to be held under 70 points?
Yeah.
So even after and why is that? That's interesting. Why do you think they'll be held under 70 points?
I'm not sure, but they're definitely going to be under 70 points.
Gut feeling?
Yeah, just gut feeling.
Gut feeling? No reasoning behind it?
Nope, just a gut feeling. Thought it down here. Definitely going with it.
All right, now we'll get into the game that everybody wants to talk about, the bigger game, the one that could, as Luke says, will decide the conference.
Yes, sir.
So this is a game that whatever team wins, they are in control of their own destiny. I mean, technically speaking, both teams are in control of their own destiny right now, because if either team wins out, then they're going to win the conference. But this game truly decides who's on the gas, who's in the front, and who could host the NEC tournament, assuming that they make it through the entire NEC tournament. Now, Matt, your thoughts on the game, score prediction, what do you think is going to happen? Just overall, what do you think Robert Morris needs to do to beat Wagner? Do you think it will happen, and your score prediction?
I think we got to shoot the ball from three and make it. That is what I think that we have to do to win. So if that's the case, then I see that we have to score at least 65 points in that game. So I'm going to guess that we win 67 to 59. And that's as an optimist. There's a chance that if we don't shoot well from behind the arc, then I'm guessing the same sad score will happen. I'm thinking that it's going to be us in the 40s and them in the 60s.
Do you think it'll be a very defensive game? Do you think the team that shoots better is going to win, or the team that plays defense better that wins?
I think it's the team that shoots better is going to win, because Wagner's a better defensive team.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be all about really making the adjustment early on in the first half. I think if you go in that game and you're ice cold from behind the arc, nothing's falling, you got to figure that out early on and just change the game plan, or you're going to get caught playing catch up the whole game. You don't want to do that against Wagner.
No, you don't.
So if Rob Morris wins, it's going to be 67 to 59.
67-59.
Yeah.
Same. Is that the same score you said, Matt? Is he taking, or you said six?
I don't.
I don't know what you said.
I think I said 67-59. Well, maybe I said 65-59.
All right, well, it looks like we got some crazy predictions here, and we got Robert Morris hopefully all thinking that they're going to go undefeated this weekend and run away with the conference, hopefully, after that. So thank you all for tuning in to the Toll Sheds. On behalf of Matt and Luke, I'm Logan Carney, and we'll be here next week, same time. Well, actually, hopefully 15 minutes earlier, but same time, same channel.
Same tool time.
Thank you all for joining us. Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley-oop.